This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good morning, everybody. House and local government will come to order. I'd like to thank you for anybody that's listening on the internet. Reminder, please turn off your cell phones at this time. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bruner.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hawks.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Marty.
Here.
Quam. Rosem.
Here.
Shane Fish.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Tulson.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
And Quam. Is he excused?
He's a little tardy, excused.
Okay, thank you.
We have a quorum with the majority of the members present. The chair will now entertain a motion for approval of minutes. It's been moved by Representative Craig, seconded by Representative Heineman. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. At this point, if the pages would like to come up and introduce themselves and share any information, where you're from, that type of thing, or where you're planning on going in your future, that'd be wonderful.
Hi, I'm Timber Hudson, and I go to Sturgis Brown High School, and I plan to go to Africa next September. I'm taking a year off from school.
Hello, my name is Amber Hulse. I'm a junior at Hot Springs High School, and in March, I'm planning on starting the application to apply for the Air Force Academy.
Wonderful. Two very adventurous. Yes, Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a distinguished individual, the Mayor of Madison, Mayor Roy Lindsay, in our midst here, as well as Sue from KGM Radio. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming, and to go on record also, they are West River girls. So that's always a bonus. All right, we're going to jump right on in here. We're going to open the hearing on House Bill 1100. House Bill 1100, a minimum size for sign about zoning changes or conditional use permits. We will now take proponent testimony on House Bill 1100. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair, fellow members. If you remember last year, you seen the exact same bill in front of this committee. Oh, sorry, Herman Otten, District 6. So last year we seen House Bill 1194. It was the exact same bill as what you see today. Last year's intent was for that bill to apply to municipalities, counties, and commissions when it pertained to having to post public notices for zoning permits and conditional use permits. The reason you're seeing the exact same bill today, but spelled out to the fact it says municipality and commission now, is when 1194 got placed in the code last year, it got placed into a section of code that only applies to counties. And that was not the intent of the bill. It's not the way I pitched the bill. So I have brought back House Bill 1100 now to get it to apply fairly and equally across the board. A little refresher about it. Whenever a planning commission or a city, county requires within their ordinance that you have to place a sign for the post for a public notice, this just says that the sign has to be of a certain size or larger, 24 inches by 18 inches. And that's roughly the size of what one of our political yard signs are. The reason I brought it forth last year was because it's a public information. And if you're familiar with what they've done in the past, is they use a 8.5 by 11 is what they've used and posted before. And if you drive by and you see that, you don't know if it's a yard sale or what it is. Frankly, you can't read it, especially if it's out in the county where you're driving by. So I just thought it's important that if the cities or counties or commissions require that in their ordinance, that it should be at least of a size that you can see and understand. The counties, you know, since 1194 was enacted. Haven't had any negative feedback from them. I know there's been a few municipalities that have gone ahead and increased their minimum size because of the passage of the bill, even though they didn't have to. The reason I am bringing it, though, is because there was a couple of smaller communities that said it was only in the county code, so they did not plan on making the change. And that was not the intent of the bill, so I hope you guys give me a favorable representation again on this, just like we did last year. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1100? Proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony on House Bill 1100. Opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move forward. We will go ahead and no rebuttal. At this time, I will open it up to committee questions. I don't know if you should go anywhere, Representative.
I think you have to get
We're doing questions.
Questions.
Any questions of the committee? You're giving them a pass. Wow. Seeing none at this time, the chair now closes the public hearing portion of House Bill 1100 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawks.
Second.
It's been moved. Do pass on House Bill 1100 by Representative Hawks, seconded by Representative Craig. Any discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that he did a good job of explaining why he brought this bill, and the legislative intent just needed to be clarified, so I appreciate that.
Further discussion by the committee? Representative Rosum.
Thank you. I would just say I was a no vote last year because I think this should be a local decision, but since we have it for the counties and nobody's kick, we pretty much have to do it, I think, at the municipal level, too. So I'm a yes.
Thank you, Representative. Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1100. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosum.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13, yay.
House Bill 1100, having received a majority of the members present, passes. Representative Hawks. We have a move for consent on House Bill 1100. We have a second. Does anybody have issue with that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We move consent on House Bill 1100. Mm-hmm. Opening the public testimony on House Bill 1101, proponent testimony on House Bill 1101. Welcome back to the hot seat.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Herman Otten, District 6. I bring before you House Bill 1101, an act to authorize municipalities to create programs to encourage housing development. Pretty short little bill, so I'm just going to read it out. Any municipality may rebate the municipal property taxes paid on housing that furthers the municipality's housing goals. The municipality shall, by ordinance, develop a program that provides for the type of housing that qualifies for the rebate, the length of time the rebate may apply, and the criteria the housing shall meet in order to qualify for the rebate. What this does is brings to communities that don't have development corporations. Right now, some of this is done through development corporations throughout the state of South Dakota. If your community does not have a development corporation, you really don't have this option available if you have some housing needs. The way it could be set up, and it would have to be set up by ordinance and the voters would have to approve it, but the way it could be is that a community could identify a housing need they have, and let's say it's just for houses for under $150,000. They can sit there and come up with a program to try to entice more individuals to move into their community or to get a housing development started, because some communities will actually rebate the property taxes and waive the sewer fees and development fees and annexation fees. But this year just goes to the property taxes. But through that ordinance, they could offer an incentive program that if I come into this particular community – I would still pay all my property taxes into the county. The money's all divvied out like it normally would be, so we don't need to have any accounting issues with that. But then at that time, that city can make, if they have the program in place, can just rebate the city portion of the property taxes back to that individual. That's the basic idea and the goal of the bill. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1101. Proponent testimony, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We do rise in support of this bill. If you ask my membership what our three biggest problems are in this state, they would tell you they are infrastructure, housing shortage, and workforce shortage. And those three things are one big ball of a problem. If you've got a problem with one, you probably have a problem with all three. And so this is our attempt to make some small step towards addressing one of those problems. We are only dealing with the municipal sales taxes. It's a local decision on their own part. Members of this committee who see us up here all the time are going to see this newspaper a lot. But this newspaper had about three stories in it. It's the Lyman County Herald. But the school board discusses housing. They're having trouble in this particular school district getting teachers to come because everybody's having problems getting teachers to come. But additionally, they're having problems getting them because there's no place for them to live once they get there. And that's probably a pretty universal problem statewide. I know we're on the interstate. That's also an issue with Highway Patrol that they put down on the interstate and try to house on one of those small interstate towns. And so housing is a big problem. We would like to take a small step at addressing it. We did do scientific research via Google and looked at the average home price in South Dakota. It was about $105,000. If you put the average city levy on that, it adds up to about $800 and maybe $30 to $50 that you'd be giving. That's a decent amount to an individual out there looking at buying a house and maybe something that even our smaller towns can help afford. So we would urge your support of the bill and would be happy to take questions.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1101. And I remind everybody to sign in if you're going to testify. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Dean. I'm the Director of Industry Relations for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. And you are probably asking yourself, why is the telecom guy up here on a municipal housing bill? We are here for the exact reasons that Ms. Taylor just alluded to. Housing in small town South Dakota is very much of a challenge. It's very much of a challenge to attract professionally trained and or technically skilled individuals to come to places like Kimball or Kennebec or Groton or Eagle Butte or Wall. And so this bill is maybe a small step, but it's a good step forward to try to encourage housing to come forward. I can tell you that it is such a priority for our companies. I sat in a meeting with one of our general managers who brought up two local builders from the community he was in to meet with the Housing Development Authority to explore housing programs that might assist them in building either single-family dwellings or multiple-family housing dwellings. That's the kind of investment that our companies are making. SDN Communications is partnering with Avera Health because the healthcare sector is finding the same challenges in attracting healthcare professionals into small town South Dakota. Housing is very much of a critical need. This is a good bill. It needs to move forward. We would very much appreciate your support.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1101. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Dean Krogman. I'll be very brief. It's the theme of that has already been articulated in terms of affordable housing, labor force development. You can't have labor force development without affordable housing. So we're in favor of all options that may be available to provide that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Further proponent testimony now at this time for House Bill 1101. Welcome.
Welcome. Roy Lindsay, Mayor, City of Madison. It's not just the little towns, too. Madison is in the top 16 in terms of population, and we are in support of this bill as well. Or I want to clarify, I, as mayor, am in support of this bill. And the reason I want to change that is because I do not want to speak for our other commission in that. But I, as mayor, we have the same issues. We are in support. I am in support. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1101. Proponent testimony seeing none at this time, we'll move into opponent testimony of House Bill 1101. Opponent testimony? Seeing none, we will waive the rebuttal. At this time, I will open it up for committee questions. Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think this is a good bill. A question I have would be on definition. Would that be where it says municipal property taxes, should that be municipal real estate taxes? Just a minor thing, but I don't know on the definition.
Is there anybody in the audience that could refer to that? Welcome back, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think it is just the municipal property tax. It's levied by the county when they levy the county and the school district and all of the others. And so I believe that would be the correct.
Further questions of the committee? You look quizzical, Representative Craig.
I do, Madam Chair. Well, I'm curious if I want somebody to put some flesh on the skeleton here. Just who might be able to answer, what does it look like, this program to encourage housing development? Just a little more specifics. What does it look like? An example. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chairman, Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League again. We purposely left this pretty broad because we wanted it to be a local option. The housing needs in every community are going to be different. Some places need like fourplex rental houses. Some places need single family homes. Some places need a combination of those things. I will tell you the one that I have the ordinance for that is doing it through their Economic Development Corp did a specific part of town that they're trying to get developed and get housing into, and they did it for a 5-year period, any housing that met their criteria. The point of having it established by ordinance is that each city is going to have two readings, and so there's going to be two hearings on whatever they set up. There's notice and put out on agendas, and so and then that ordinance is published in the newspaper and is made public and doesn't go into effect. And so there's public review in every town whether they want to see that tax dollar used that way or not. But we think it needs to be left local because the needs are different in every town.
Great. Thank you for the answer. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further questions of the committee? Seeing none, the chair at this time closes it to public hearing portion on House Bill 1101, and it opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Soli.
I move to pass.
It's been moved by Representative Soli, seconded by Representative Heineman on do pass motion on House Bill 1101. Discussion at this time.
I think we've heard good support for this. It's a creative and thoughtful way to. I like the idea of a small step and a good step. Give a tool to municipalities if they wish to use them for developing housing and their workforce and infrastructure.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Certainly, this goes to direct local control. If the municipality wants to adopt something to provide for incentive, they can, and I think it's a great idea.
Any further questions or comments? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1101. Those in favor, aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous, 13.
House Bill 1101, having received a majority of the vote of the members present, passes. I assume that you will be carrying both of these on the floor and to caucus?
Yep. Please let me.
And caucus. Okay, wonderful. We're moving right along. We're going to open up right now at this time the public hearing on House Bill 1102, allow for additional time to review certain competitive sealed bids. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. Representative Tom Bruner, District 29. Today I bring you House Bill 1102. There is an amendment we have prepared. I would, if you could pass it out this time, and ask your indulgence on talking about the bill and the amendment.
Yes.
Thank you. This bill would simply allow more time to review a bid before awarding it. Right now, a contract must be awarded within 30 days. We'd like an additional 15 days to review this bid. Municipalities, many governing bodies only meet once a month, so time to review the bid can be rushed in order to get the award on the scheduled meeting date. In other cases, if you're bidding something complicated, like a fire truck or an ambulance, for example, the bid specs can be up to a couple hundred pages long, and the submissions can be even longer. If the city gets two or three bids, each several hundred pages, it takes time to get through them. No matter how often your governing body meets, 30 days is simply not enough to adequately review these types of technical and complex bids. We want to be sure there is time to do a good job of reviewing bids before awarding a contract. Because the complexity of the bid varies, we're asking to be allowed to 45 days to review, but also that will be required to state that when we issue the invitation for bids, how long it will take to need. So the bidders know up front that we'd be asking for a longer period. With that, the amendment, basically, in drafting this bill, these two sections of law were just left out. Doesn't change anything, just adds a couple more sections where it would be appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1102. Welcome back.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. The prior bill was a short bill with kind of a long explanation. This is a long bill with a short explanation. We would just like more time to look at these bids. The purpose of the entire bidding process is to make sure that you are going through a fair, open process when you do your purchasing, so I can't just buy stuff from my brother. And it's to make sure that the government gets the best deal for the buck. On these complex bids, we just simply don't have enough time to review them. If you're dealing with 900 and some pages, you've only got a council that meets once a month, 30 days is just not enough, and so we're asking for more time. And we would like, in the attempt to be fair to the contractors, we would have to state in the invitation to bid that we're going to take this long before we award it, so everybody knows coming in the amount of time that we're going to be using. So we would urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, 1102. Proponent testimony, 1102. Seeing none, I'll open it up to opponent testimony on House Bill 1102. Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Deb Mortensen, and I'm the registered lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors Highway Heavy Utility Chapter and Building Chapter. And while we, it's a mouthful, and while we appreciate the effort that Ms. Taylor has gone to amend the bill to make it more palatable to us, I do rise in opposition for this today. We are in a disagreement about the length of time for the bid. We do encourage you to leave it at 30 days, and we have a couple of reasons for that. Number one is that labor availability is a problem for contractors. As contractors bid projects that are let, they're always keeping one eye on the available labor that they have to cover these projects. Sometimes when they feel that they're getting overextended, bidding a lot of projects, and they're not going to be able to cover awarded projects, they start to withdraw bids. And we feel that extending the bid contract to 45 days is only going to worsen that problem. Another problem that we see with this bill is that of material price volatility. Sometimes even 30 days doesn't cover a bid that you've put in when you've got a lot of volatility, specifically with petroleum-based products. You're not seeing a lot of that right now, but it does factor in. When you're bidding equipment, you can have huge fluctuations in price in 30 days, not to mention 45 days. We feel that we need to leave the bid process at 30 days so you can let the competitive bid process work the best way that it does. That's pitting contractor against contractor to get the best buy for your public dollar. We encourage you to defeat the bill. Thank you for your time, and I will be available for any questions.
Thank you. Further opponent testimony on House Bill 1102. Opponent testimony? Seeing none, at this time I will allow you a rebuttal, Representative.
Thank you. Again, Representative Tom Bruner. Well, I would just add that, remind the committee that these are taxpayers' dollars, and I think we have a responsibility to see that they're spent as wisely as possible. The other thing I would add also is, as a person opposing this bill, talked a lot about bids as far as doing contracting, building roads, things like that. Most of these that would take longer would be equipment bids, and those specs are quite complicated, and we just think that 2 weeks isn't too much, 15 days isn't too much to ask for extra time, and I would just urge your support on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. At this time, I'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Soli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question for Ms. Taylor. The issue here for the opponent seems to be the fluctuations that can happen in that extra 15 days with labor or materials. Is it possible that somebody, even on a, or a company, even on a bigger project, could request or, you know, be in conversation so that they would let someone know before they set that bill, set that time, that this would be an issue? So that might be considered at the time of setting the length of the bid process?
Madam Chairman, I think probably all parties are pretty aware of the market forces that are that come to bear when these projects are going on. I think you can have conversations between the bidders and the cities. I would discourage a lot of that just because you want it to be a fair, open bid process. But I think those conversations certainly do happen.
Follow up? Seeing none, Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Taylor, the flexibility to increase the length of time, of course, is your goal here. And, you know, they've testified to the fact that it would increase costs potentially and whatever. Is it your intent that most of the bidding process would stay at 30 days, or do you really in reality think everyone would go to the 45-day process? Because it's in statute, you know, you mentioned that the bid process has to state the length of time that they have. Is it your opinion that it would be only extraordinary projects that would require that 45-day period, or would that become the status quo?
Madam Chairman, I believe it would just be the outliers, the extraordinary projects. Anybody that's ever bought anything or built anything, we want it now. Cities are no different. We want everything as fast as we can get it. And so we don't have any incentive to delay the process. We're going out to bid because we need something. And so the quicker we can get it, the better. And so I think they will use the amount of time they think is necessary to review these specs. The example that was given to me, I think, was an ambulance or a fire truck. But it's a 200-page bid spec. And you can imagine all of the equipment in one of those things. And to make sure you're getting exactly what you need, it just takes more time. But I don't think it would be the standard. I think it would be the things that require that much time. But mostly we want it as fast as we can get it.
Any further questions of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the opponent. Thank you. When the architect engineer writes up the bid specs, usually puts in there the amount, this bid may be held for a certain number of days. Do you know what if that's put in most of these bid specs?
Madam Chair, Most of the public improvement bid specs typically are using the 30-day process or the 30-day in the specs. Yes.
Any further questions of the committee on House Bill 1102? Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing portion on House Bill 1102 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Craig. Does he have a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Craig, second by Representative Qualm. The motion at hand is do pass on House Bill 1102. At this point, we'll go ahead and take our vote. No further discussion. Would you like to make a comment? I'm sorry. Apologize. Seeing no further discussion or question.
Madam Chair.
Oh, yes.
There's an amendment.
I forgot. Let's step back. So we'll take that motion off the table at this time, and we will move to the amendment. 1102YA, I assume everybody has read it. So at this point, we have a motion to pass Amendment 1102YA.
Second.
Representative Bruner, it's been moved to pass Amendment 1102YA, seconded by Representative Soley. Any comments? Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. It's been moved to amend House Bill 1102 with Amendment 1102YA. Now I'm going to go ahead in that dance step that I took previously out of order. I'm going to ask for a motion to on House Bill. Okay, so we can go ahead and just move, do the voting on the amendment or on the bill. Okay, so what we're going to do at this time is move do pass as amended on House Bill 1102. The secretary will take the roll.
Representatives Bruner,
aye.
Craig,
aye.
Greenfield,
aye.
Hawks,
aye.
Heineman,
aye.
Marty,
aye.
Qualm,
aye.
Rosem. Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soley.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Rosem. Okay.
Aye.
Tolson was aye.
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 Rosem.
Aye.
Otten.
Nay.
Consett.
Aye.
The vote is 12 yea, 1 nay.
House Bill 1102, as amended, having received the majority of the vote, passes. Moving on to our final bill at this time, we will entertain proponent testimony on House Bill 1103. Proponent testimony. Welcome back, Representative.
Thank you. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, huh? Representative Tom Bruner, District 29. Today I also bring you House Bill 1103, an act to clarify qualification for municipal office. There are several statutes in Title IX that address the time frame in which municipal officials must qualify for office after an election or appointment. Each statute varies slightly regarding the time frame. In order to qualify for office, a municipal official must take an oath of office and file a bond when one is required. The revised language in this bill allows sufficient time for these requirements to be completed. In fact, SDCL 3514 allows municipalities the option of purchasing a blanket bond or blanket crime coverage that covers all municipal officials as soon as they are elected or appointed. This bill simply makes the statutes consistent in respect to the time frame in which municipal officials need to qualify for office after an election or appointment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1103. Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Lori Martinez with the South Dakota Municipal League.
And we had asked Representative Bruner to sponsor this bill and truly appreciate his support. And we just feel the bill provides needed clarification and consistency with the process for qualification for a municipal office, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony at this time for House Bill 1103. Proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll go into opponent testimony on House Bill 1103. Opponent testimony, House Bill 1103. Seeing none, we'll waive your right to the rebuttal. At this time, I will open it up to committee questions. Seeing none, the chair now closes the public testimony portion on House Bill 1103 and opens it up for discussion and or action. Representative Heineman.
Move to pass. Second.
Been moved by Representative Heineman and seconded by Representative Hawks that House Bill 1103 with a due pass motion. Any comments?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Certainly, the issue of filing the form within 10 days gives it clarity. I applaud those that are looking at this particular issue, and I agree you support the bill, please.
Further comments? Seeing none at the time, would the Secretary please call the roll? All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tulson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 yay.
House Bill 1103, having received a majority of the vote of the members present, passes. It's been moved to consent by Representative Hawks, seconded by Representative Soli. All those in favor of consent say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 1103 is moved consent. That concludes our business of the day, unless the committee has anything else they would like to say. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
It's been moved by Representative Qualm and seconded by Representative Craig. All right, that sounds about right. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.